Good morning. Today we continue our series of meditations from John's Gospel. This morning our focus is on John chapter 6, verses 66 through to 71. The scenario is this. Jesus had been preaching to a crowd. He was preaching things they did not want to hear. So we read in verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." So Jesus, seeing the whole heap of people who were leaving, who did not want to listen to anything more he had to say, turned to his 12 disciples and asked, "Do you also want to go away?" The apostle Peter spoke up on the behalf of the 12 disciples. He said to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Some scholars have detected an air of pride when Peter said, "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The argument is that Peter and the other disciples contrasted themselves to the crowd. The argument is that Peter was bigging up himself and the other disciples who stayed with Christ when the crowd had abandoned Christ. Peter and company were bigging up themselves for being so much wiser, more discerning, and superior to the crowd who walked away from the Lord Jesus and his message. To this kind of thinking, Jesus responded in verse 70. "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Jesus' statement served to quench any notion of pride that the 12 had of themselves. Jesus was making the point that in his sovereign grace, he chose the disciples for salvation, except Judas, who was a servant of the devil. Jesus' point was that Peter's faith did not arise out of himself, but that God supplied the grace and the faith for Peter and the other disciples to believe. That was the work of a sovereign God. In Matthew's account of this dialogue, Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In other words, it was not because Peter and the other disciples were in any way better than the crowd while they were saved when they heard the message of Jesus. They were saved purely because of God's grace and mercy. Jesus' point was that salvation is by his sovereign choice of specific persons to believe and be saved. The fact Peter and other disciples believed Jesus for salvation was not because they were in some way superior to the rest of humanity. Their being saved was purely the goodness and the grace of God. A person is saved from his or her sins purely because of the grace and goodness of God in Christ Jesus. Speaking in John chapter 6 and verse 44, the Lord Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." For Jesus, Peter and the other disciples needed to realize that they were set apart by sovereign grace for salvation. They were not set apart for salvation because of any intrinsic goodness in them or any merit whatsoever. It was purely God's grace why they were set apart for salvation. Jesus, in John chapter 8 and verse 34, said, "I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Jesus' point is that sin has so enslaved mankind that people do not possess the moral and spiritual ability even to believe the gospel on their own. The wonder of it all is that anyone believes the gospel, given how wretchedly fallen all humanity continues to be, being the spiritual descendants of Adam. The reason people come to Christ is that God chose them to receive his gift of faith. Salvation results from God's mercy to the guilty, and mercy is always freely given, not deserved, and never earned. Jesus wanted Peter to remember this, not to make him proud, but instead to make him humble. So when Peter declared, "We have believed," Jesus in response said, "Did I not choose you?" Those of us who profess faith in the atoning death of Jesus Christ must be forever humbled that we are saved, recognizing that our salvation is purely by the grace of God. The fact that Jesus saved us from our sins must serve to humble us and cause us to serve and live humbly. Let us look at the second part of what Jesus said in verse 70. "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" Verse 71 tells us that Jesus was referring to Judas Iscariot as a devil. In this band of Jesus' followers, that is, those most privileged to see his miracles and hear his teachings, was one who did not believe in Jesus and who would ultimately betray Jesus. Judas Iscariot was never a genuine follower of Jesus. In other words, Judas was never saved. Yet all along, Jesus knew that Judas was not truly loyal. All along, Jesus knew Judas was not one of his own. Judas was not an honest unbeliever. Judas deceived people by pretending to follow Jesus. And in Matthew 10, it seems Judas even preached the gospel, though he clearly did not submit himself to the gospel message. Judas had the outward appearance of being a good religious man, a good follower of Jesus, but his soul was dark. His soul was lost. Judas deserved an Oscar for Best Actor, as he acted so well that it seems none of his peers doubted that he was a genuine disciple. But Jesus knew all along. The Judases of this world are capable of fooling a lot of us, but Jesus cannot be fooled. Jesus knows today the truth of your heart and mine. Judas' hypocrisy ended with his betrayal of Jesus, damning his own soul by dying in an unrepentant condition. There are Judases among us today, many of them occupying pulpits and leadership of key ministries in the local church. But Christians must not be dismayed when they are discovered. Judas was a servant of Satan, one who was animated not by eternal life, but by the same evil that drives the devil. The life of Judas shows us how near a person may come to Christ and yet be lost. There are many in our churches who demonstrate a religious air, a religious spirit about them, but yet such persons have not truly surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Such persons are courting eternal damnation. The life of Judas proves that a man may witness the most stupendous marvels, may hear the most spiritual teaching, may keep company with the godliest of people, and yet he himself remain a non-Christian. Jesus said about Judas in Matthew 26:24 that it would have been better if he had never been born. Jesus was referring to the fact that after having betrayed him, Judas was remorseful but not penitent. Judas did not repent of his sins. Judas stands in strong contrast to Peter, who, having betrayed Christ by denying him three times, was not just remorseful but penitent. Peter repented of his sins. Many people under the sound of my voice are remorseful concerning sins they have committed. They are sorry for the wrong thing that they did, but they have not turned to Christ in repentance for their sins. If a person goes to his or her grave remorseful but not repenting, then Jesus said of such persons, "It is better you were not born." Today, my listeners, the door is open for you to repent of your sins. Today you can come to Christ, not just remorseful, but penitent. Today you can come to Christ and repent of your sins. Acknowledge that you're a sinner Acknowledge that you are subject to the wrath of God to be poured out on you because you are a sinner. Acknowledge that Jesus bore the wrath due you on Calvary's cross. Repent of your sins. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Call on Jesus to forgive of your sins. Believe Jesus rose from the dead. Trust in Jesus' ability to save you from your sins, and you will be saved. If you die without having surrendered your life to Christ, it would have been better if you were not born. Until next week, may Christ bless you greatly.